There was a real corcandrille hanging from the rafters, very lifelike and horrible, with glass eyes and scaly tail stretched out behind it. When its master came into the room, it winked one eye in salutation, although it was stuffed. There were thousands of brown books in leather bindings, some chained to the bookshelves and others propped against each other, as if they had had too much to drink and did not really trust themselves. These gave out a smell of must and solid brownness, which was most secure. Then there were stuffed birds, popinjays and maggot pies and kingfishers and peacocks with all their feathers but two, and tiny birds like beetles, and a reputed phoenix which smelt of incense and cinnamon. It could not have been a real phoenix, because there is only one of these at a time. Over by the mantelpiece, there was a fox's mask with Grafton, Buckingham to Daventry, 2 hours, 20 minutes written under it, and also a 40-pound salmon with Awa, 43 min, bulldog written under it, and a very lifelike basilisk with Crowhurst, otterhounds in Roman print. There were several boar's tusks and the claws of tigers and libards mounted in symmetrical patterns and a big head of Avis Paul. And you get the idea of what's going on here. He's putting a list of the kind of things that would be in Merlin's room, but he's mixing in 20th century things or conventions like writing the name of where something was caught under it. And that's what White does really, really well throughout the book. What White's doing here is finding a way to mediate between the Arthurian world, which is alien and about kings and princes and queens, and the ordinary world. And he does that by bringing in elements, anachronistic elements, from the 20th century into the writing. White also creates a kind of interesting doubled irony where he brings the Malory story into his own story, as if he's the one telling the journalistic truth and Malory's the one who made an interesting story out of it. So, for example, he says when he looks at the family trees of Arthur and Gawain and Mordred and how the tragedy was that Arthur had slept with his sister and fathered a son by her, that this is why Malory entitles his book The Death of Arthur, because it's an Aristotelian tragedy about sin coming home to roost. So it's important to see how White is very, very clear and very metafictional, if you want it that way, about working with his source. He tells his reader, I'm adapting my source. At the same time, he creates the conceit that he knows the real truth, and Malory was just telling a story in some way. Though at the very end of The Once and Future King, he puts Malory into the story. He has Malory being there with King Arthur, and King Arthur telling young Thomas, go and go tell the story. Don't get killed in the battle. Promise to me you'll go tell the story. Now, again, time-wise, this can't work at all. There's no way that the real King Arthur, whoever he was, could possibly have been living in 1450 or whenever it was that Malory would have been alive.